The second round is in full swing and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball and hockey playoffs, offering players a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes. That's up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs each day. The best part is that it's free to play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and search the whole wide variety of free contests and an opportunity to win cash prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get your free shot. Add up to $10,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball and hockey playoffs. Head to DraftKings Pools page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Today on the Soda Pod, all wild talk as we dive into NHL awards, early entry draft options, and who will be traded if Matt Dumba stays. All that and more in episode 162 of the Soda Pod. Let's go. Wildwoods of Vancouver Island. Welcome to the Soda Pod. Isha Drummy here alongside the State of Hoppy. And thank you for joining us wherever and whenever you are listening. I just want to give another shout out to Salt Spring Spirits, Salt Spring Shine Spirits, and High Vodka, as I've been drinking this all week. And again, Salt Spring Wild, as they are untamed with the ciders. Picked up two bottles over last weekend, and that has been fueling me throughout the week on the Soda Pod. Hoppy, how are you? What have you been drinking this week?
You know what? I've been doing all right. This week, nothing too exciting, but didn't give it the proper shout out on the Monday episode. And if anyone's looking for somewhere to hit up this weekend, Barrel Theory Tap Room is reopened. Also made a stop over to Stacked Deck. Was out with Christian Lover of 10K Takes, planning actually a Dynasty Football League that we're going to be setting up for some content. It's going to be fun. But so I hit up our boy Timmy, Isha, and Timmy. just said, hey, I'm coming into the tap room. Like, if you're around, cool. If not, let me know like what I should prioritize trying. He's like, yeah, just have the DIPAs, the double IPAs. Have fun. I'm like, great. Thanks.
We love Tim. We love Tim.
Oh, Timmy's great. He'll be back on here in no time. But also then moseyed over to Stacked Deck, which wasn't too far away. And that's one that I've talked about before, that my first experience there, pretty rough. And the second time I went back would have been March-ish. Just completely different brewery. Really good beer, very happy, and it turns out that it's one of Christian's favorites, so we went back over there again and connected with the taproom manager, and I actually still owe Lacey an email because we're going to get some folks from over there to jump on the podcast here soon.
Oh, nice. Well, exciting stuff on the Soda Pod, and always exciting to talk to those behind the best beer in the state of hockey. I had a great weekend last weekend over there on Salt Spring Island. Unfortunately, couldn't hit up the brewery, as I said in one of the past episodes. So been sipping on this this awesome cider from Salt Spring Wild. I really am excited to bring on, because I've contacted them before, some of the staff and actually one of the owners from Salt Spring Brewing, because they are huge hockey fans. They love what we're doing. And it was just unfortunate that I couldn't go check them out. But when I do, I might, when I go there again, actually, I might record some live content, because their brewery, it's literally on the ocean on one side and on the other side in a forest. And it's unbelievable. Every time I go there, and I go to Salt Spring at least once a year, they're expanding. So that's great to see. They're in more, There are more liquor stores, not only on the island, but in Vancouver, now in Alberta as well. So making their way out in Eastern Canada. And you better believe I got up to three of those in the care package that is should be sent to Hoppy actually next week. I'm one beer shy. Why the fuck you lying? This time I'm serious. I'm one beer shy of completing it to send to you. I'm looking for one more.
If the nutty uncle isn't in whenever it's sent, I'm not gonna forgive you.
See, that's the one I'm chasing down here.
There it is. Yeah, he wouldn't have even known. Now, I got to hit the pause button here real quick. I'm going to ask the audience, because I know we've got Dylan and Jack both on board. I need to know if this is a Canadian thing or if this is an Isha thing, because Benders and I were laughing at him throughout the Monday episode. How, Dylan, I'll go to you first. How would you pronounce the beverage that Isha is drinking?
Vodka?
No, the other one. Sorry.
Cider?
Oh, man. Okay. Jack, same thing from you?
Cider?
Yeah, it's cider.
What? That's some Minnesota shit.
Yeah, no, it's not.
No, that's America shit.
Okay, well, that was some really fine line.
You guys aren't too great with your language.
That's how I find out. That's how I know if it's an Isha-ism.
Yeah, well, over here we have roofs. Out there in Minnesota, you guys got roughs. So, I mean.
Rough? Excuse me?
Garages.
It's rough.
Garages. Some garages. Hoppy didn't even know what Bob's your uncle was. But apparently,
we've been enlightening a lot of Americans last year, Jack. A lot of Canadian sayings have been making their way.
The one that gets me the most, because Isha says it just nonstop, like people know what it is Cole's Notes.
Oh, yeah.
Cole's Notes.
Those are the Cole's Notes, boys.
If you want to tell us your wacky American sayings, you can send us a text or voicemail, 612-324-1684, courtesy of Open Phone. Big thanks to Open Phone. It's a cell phone and an app. Great monthly rates, only $10 a month, only at Open Phone. The Hockey Podcast Network is powered by DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code THPN for a sign-up bonus or weekly deals if you are a user only at DraftKings. All right, on the other side, let's dive in. It is Friday, so let's dive in deep with some Minnesota Wild talk. You're listening to episode 162, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Let's start with the first topic at hand, the NHL Awards. Now, I know this isn't specifically Minnesota Wild talk, but the Minnesota Wild, they got some stake in the game. Hoppy, let's start with you.
Where do we want to start? Do we want to start with the positive or the negative?
Well, you know, there's been some negativity on the Soda Pod these last couple of weeks. So let's start with some positives.
Start with some positives. Okay, the soon-to-be-renamed Martin St. Louis Award, we have nominee Jared Spurgeon, who I don't even know how they come down to deciding who wins between the three nominees, but he is a nominee. So, again, golf clap for Minnesota.
And enlighten those who don't know what the word
is. Yes, I have no idea
what you're talking about, Hoppy. Jesus. Well,
Any hockey fan should know what should be changed to the Martin St. Louis Award, and that is the Lady Byng Memorial Trophy.
I thought you were going to say the Little People Award.
Jesus. Okay.
Well, it's Spurgeon and St. Louis.
Best player under 5'8"?
Yeah. No,
because I'm pretty sure St. Louis was nominated for it like every year.
No, I get it. I'm just saying.
Just like not to upset other Wild fans, the might as well call it the Patrice Bergeron Award for the Selke.
Yeah, well, look, Minnesota fans like to talk about Erickson Ek every year, getting that award. He's not at the level to actually get it, I don't think.
Well, here's the thing. I think Minnesota fans are the only ones that actually give a shit about the Selke.
About any award, correct.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Just shine the light on us for a little bit here.
Yeah, no, the awards, who gives a shit? Like, it's cool if your player wins, and if they don't, just be like, oh, yeah, the awards are bullshit. Who cares? Don't get mad.
Okay, well.
No, get mad and go on Twitter.
No.
Okay, look, Selke and the St. Louis Award, those ones you can't really get mad at. You know, like if one of the Wild players win, then great. Like if Spurgeon wins, sure, well-deserved. Love to see Spurgeon get any award because I think he's one of my favorite defensemen and he's a damn good National Hockey League player. The Calder, that's the juicy one. right? And I know there's a couple other we could run down. I mean, sure, we want to talk about the Selke. Eriksson Ek, he's a great two-way forward, but it's the Bergeron Award. He's going to get it. Let's talk about the Calder, because we've talked about it in the past, but this Robertson kid for Dallas, I mean, he really could snake it from Kirill Kaprizov. And again, I got a full studio here. Dylan Kayser hitting switches and controls. My boy Jack sitting in on the podcast recording. If you guys want to chime in on this conversation, please do so as well. But we'll start with Hoppy here. I know it just keeps heating up. It just keeps heating up. We keep hearing more stats about how this Robertson kid is just the real deal and may be the better rookie in the National Hockey League.
Hey, now, Kirill the Thrill is the real deal. So don't give me that.
He's got multiple drinks named after him. Shout out Kaprizov.
Kaprizov. There we go. No, I don't know. Again, it goes back to why do people actually care? But like, if I had a vote, I would be voting for Kirill Kaprizov. That said, the people who say that it should be a landslide and that it's not close, I'm sorry, I don't agree. So Robertson had an incredible year. People want to talk about how he was a beneficiary of his line mates. The guy was on a carousel of who he played with, and was actually thrust up the lineup, right?
Yeah, and sorry to interject, but like with people who say that, it's bullshit, because he actually elevated the play of his line mates. If you want to do a deep dive analytically, if you're going to pull that bullshit of an argument, you got to have your facts. And actually, he was the one who elevated his veteran line mates, and he was put into Sagan's role. Like, hey, here are the minutes. Here's the minute, you know, here are the minutes in the top six. Here are your line mates that Sagan would have played with. Go. And he not only thrived, but he elevated those around him. That, and again, I know this is a Minnesota Wild podcast. And trust me, you know, we're just here for golden lights, baby. Like we're all things Kaprizov, but you can't just overshadow how unbelievable this kid was. And I know the Dallas Stars didn't make the playoffs, but that shouldn't matter. This kid had an unbelievable season during the regular season.
Yeah, and that's one thing that has to be addressed is everyone says, oh, you look at the impact that Kaprizov has had on this organization. Great. That's an argument for a Hart nomination, not for Calder. Calder is who was the better rookie, plain and simple. And again, I lean Kaprizov, but those who say that Robertson has no chance, sorry, I don't agree at all.
Look, I would say based on what I saw, and again, I didn't watch as much Robertson as Kaprizov. I'll be the first one to say that. Again, Minnesota Wild podcast, Minnesota, the team I like to follow. I did do my due diligence late in the season, and I'll say I still give Kaprizov my vote as well. And I know a lot of people say that this shouldn't matter in the equation, but Robertson being the inexperienced pro hockey player compared to Kaprizov, I think that has to be taken into the equation. I don't know. What do you think, boys?
I mean, for me, honestly, I have time for the argument that Robertson should get the Calder. What it comes down to for me is the goals. 27 goals from a rookie like Kaprizov is unbelievable. If he had a
shortened year,
you could imagine a 40-goal season from COVID Kaprizov. Season. So if their points are pretty similar, I'm looking at the goals because that's even more impressive as a rookie.
Yeah, and for me, a big thing too that came into play where I was starting to lean Robertson at a certain point in the year is Kaprizov came in hot and he kind of tapered off for a little bit. Whereas Robertson came in slow like a rookie usually does. And he was on fire for a good month and a half straight to round out the end of the year. Thank God Kaprizov came back into the fold and started dominating people again and kind of vaulted himself just above again at the end of the season. But like there was a point in time where if Kaprizov didn't show up again, I might've leaned Robertson. But that didn't happen, so I don't.
And I will say this again with the caveat that I didn't watch a lot of Robertson as closely as I did Kaprizov, but Kaprizov, where his offense fell off, and you know, as Dylan pointed out there, he had a lot of goals this season, so it didn't taper off too much, but his two-way game was there. He is a great two-way player. He is hard on the puck, he's hard on his man, and he plays a decent defensive game. I don't know if Robertson's defensive game was as good as Kaprizov. Again, that's on me for not watching it, but I think that would go in the equation as well. Whereas if Kaprizov and Robertson say they had dead on same goals, same points, but Kaprizov played better defensively, that would be the edge in this race, in my opinion.
That alongside, again, I don't give credence to, oh, Robertson played with way better players because Zuccarello, great player, right?
Yeah, damn good player. And they had chemistry.
But the amount of games played with Rask, I'm willing to give a little nudge to a player.
Fucking Victor Rask, man. Like, he's become a meme for the Minnesota Wild. Honestly.
Man, if I knew how to make a meme or a GIF, I'd have that perfect one in the slow-mo.
Boys, I want to get your opinion on something here quickly. We're talking about awards here, and you know, you brought up the Selke, the best defensive forward. Do you not think defensemen should have two awards? Offensive defenseman and defensive defenseman.
100%.
Because they're two completely different roles. Yep. And if you're just dishing it out to the guy that has the most points, are you really giving it to the best defenseman?
Thank you.
I don't think so.
Thank you. I love that, and I want the league to do that. I really do.
Yeah. No, I'm totally for it, but I will say, moving forward, you could potentially make the argument that Makar could win both. Looking in the past, completely agree with you, Dylan. But moving forward, we might not have that problem because Makar might just win both.
Hey, look, and if he wins both, that's fine. Players can win two awards. Why not?
I'm okay with it.
Especially on the back end. Yeah. If he's deserving of the best defensive defenseman and best offensive defenseman role, then why not give it to him? And I think Cale Makar is the perfect example of a player who could win that. Just thinking about that right now, there's so many players you could go down the list and be like, that's the best defensive player out there. Maybe he only puts up 20 to 30 points, but you'd want that player on your team versus a guy who just puts up points and is a revolving door on the back end in its own zone.
Oh, for sure. And one that we got to jump into here, and this is going to be in a time capsule because we're recording on Sunday night right now. This is going out on Friday. I'm guessing by this point in time, the Jack Adams nominees have been submitted. And if Dean Evason is on that list, I'm going to be disgusted. He does not belong in the top three for coaches this year at all.
Expand, please, because there's going to be a lot of Wild fans who beg to differ.
That's totally fine. They can beg to differ all they want. He did nothing to improve the play of this team. He made very little adjustments, made zero sense with his goaltending management, and I don't care about any of that. He had a better team this year because of the shitty division they're in, getting real goaltending, because if you look at the comparison from last year to this year, night and day, and getting Kirill Kaprizov.
Dubnyk and Stalock. God, I love Stalock. You know, don't get us wrong, you know, to Stalock. But Talbot and Kalkanen, yeah, an unbelievable upgrade.
Yes, and then Kirill Kaprizov. Like, I don't have any problem with Dean Evason as the coach. But if you want to tell me that he had one of the three best coaching seasons, I just don't agree at all.
And you're pulling for your boy Sullivan too, don't you?
He won't get in. And again, these awards don't matter, so I don't really care. But yes, he should probably be in the top three if you ask me. He shouldn't win it, though. I think we all know who's going to win it.
And who's that?
I want to hear from you first.
Well,
I don't want to give you the answer.
Green.
No, I tell us.
No. Isha, who would Poppy, you pick?
Fucking spit it out.
I'm driving the bus here, and I'm about to drink this nice cider. You tell me first.
See, Dylan, cider boy just wants to piggyback off my choice. It's absolutely Quenneville.
Can you say cider quickly? I just want to hear how it's supposed to be said.
Cider.
Cider.
Nailed it.
Got it.
You got it.
I love the people of Minnesota, but y'all talk funny. I just have to say it.
I'm still saying that's not, there's plenty of Minnesota-isms. That's just American.
Oh, man. What were our picks? I know we talked about this in a few episodes ago. What were some of our picks for the top one? Because Quenneville would have been mine too.
Of course, because I just told you that. But who else would you have thought of? Other than Travis Green, who probably should win it, but the league's rigged against them, so.
My top three
is easy.
Is it unfair? Is it an easy way out to say Barry Trotz again?
I'm okay with it. I wouldn't put him in my top three, but yeah, that's fair. Because again, we're not including playoffs.
No, I know.
But yeah, and that's fair.
That's probably the pick I would go with. He's
the Bergeron, Martin St. Louis. He's the legacy pick, right? Like he's the guy that could be there every year, no matter what, because he is the best coach in the league. In my opinion,
it's crazy. And I think he's the best coach in the league because he analyzes what he has, makes a system, you know, develops a system that works with the pieces he has. And then I think compared to other coaches in the league, he has a better way of figuring out what is going to work against the systems that he's coaching against in both the regular season and in the playoffs. And I think that's unbelievable because Barry Trotz, he had a wagon of a team in Washington. He did not in Nashville. He still implemented his same coaching style with both of those franchises. And I would say he had success in Nashville and it won a Stanley Cup in Washington. So I'd say he had damn good success there. Dylan, what
boys,
do you think?
Dollar for dollar, the best head coach, Rod the Bod.
Rod the Bod. He's a good choice.
Vancouver, he's my number two.
Vancouver Island boy, Canberra River
native.
And
you can get three of Rod for one of Barry, you know? So it's a good deal.
Hang on though. How many of the current Capitals coach could you get for Barry Trotz?
Hashtag math guy.
Hashtag who the fuck is their coach again?
Laviolette, who I'm pretty sure they're paying more than Trotz. After they got rid of Trotz because he was too expensive, which just makes my heart warm.
Yeah, that's a joke.
That's not so good. I don't know if Laviolette's going to stick around too much longer in the National Hockey League.
He's got two more years with them.
Yeah.
He doesn't stick anywhere too long, to be honest.
Since when do contracts of coaches really matter in the National Hockey League? Other than the Prince George boy. In Tampa, John Cooper,
the lawyer from Prince George,
another BC boy, Hoppy, Prince George, BC, Northern British Columbia. I'm telling you, some imagine of the best coaches.
That. Imagine that
the best coaches come out of BC. You got Rod the Bod,
but yeah, to Dylan's point, John Cooper. My three nominees would be, God, now you got Trotz on my brain. No, it's Quenneville, Brind'Amour, Sullivan, and some order. Those are my three.
Okay. Solid. Just quickly for the listeners and just myself one more time. Why Sullivan? Because everyone's going to always say Pittsburgh has all Pittsburgh has all the tools. They got Letang, they got Crosby. You know, why does the coach even matter here?
So first we'll start with the team argument. Pittsburgh, which if healthy, top to bottom, has a great roster. The amount of man games lost to meaningful players. So I'm not talking fourth liners. I'm not talking third pairing. I'm talking impactful players was otherworldly. Beat all but maybe one other team. I'm trying to remember who that team even was. And it was a really weird situation too, where it wasn't a mixed bag. Like for the first half of the season, all their defensemen were hurt. Second half of the season, all their forwards were getting hurt. And again, we're talking Letang, Dumoulin, Malkin was out for half the year, if not more. Rust was in and out. Zucker was in and out. That they just couldn't get a consistent lineup, and he still was able to work with what he had, bring in whatever guys he needed, work with the system, and get first place in the toughest division in the NHL.
Fair enough.
Had them counted out. They thought they were going to be the team looking in. Going into the
postseason. The Minnesota Wild thought that their pick was going to be in the fucking top 10.
They thought they were getting a lottery pick. So yeah. If you don't look at all of that and say that Sullivan is worthy of a nomination, okay, I just disagree with you. And again, he won't get nominated, and it really doesn't bother me because the awards are stupid.
There you go. I just love throwing Pittsburgh stuff at Hawkins.
Got real passionate arguments about
stupid awards. It's his team. You can get passionate about it.
Hang on. Refute anything I just said, please.
No, I won't.
That's not the point I'm trying to make.
And I said Travis Green, so you can see where my bias lies.
You said that to be funny. I don't believe you meant that.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Before I list off just some best case scenario names in regards to prospects, potential draft picks for the Minnesota Wild, I want to talk about this juicy topic because, again, we got Dylan Kayser hitting switches and controls. We got my buddy Jack sitting in studio. And if they want to chime in, we can jump on this topic. We've been bullish here on the Soda Pod about how this defense corps for the Minnesota Wild cannot continue paying $30 million moving forward. If they keep Matt Dumba, that will be the case. Now, more and more reports, Russo, Jesse Pierce, Matt Dumba himself, the team, they want to keep this guy. This guy wants to stay. The player wants to stay. And apparently right now, the organization wants to keep Matt Dumba. If this is the case, a forward is going to have to go, and I see that forward being Erickson Ek. Hoppy, what are your thoughts on that? And if Matt Dumba stays, who the fuck is going to go on the offense? Because the Wild are going to have to make room with the cap somehow.
If you're asking me who is going to go to make Dumba stay, I think it's more likely Fiala than it is Ek.
Oh, don't say that.
It makes me sad. I think he is the most... And even with Kaprizov, like watching what Fiala does more. Now, Kaprizov, it's different the way he creates, but just pure hard and fast skill with his passing ability that's very underrated and his shot, like Fiala, holy shit. Now, this will really get people riled up because they'll be actually happy with me for once. I think that if there's any issue with Barkov re-signing in Florida, Fiala is the first piece you add into a trade for him, because guess who's over there ready to accept Fiala once again? Mr. Paul Fenton.
Mr. Paul Fenton, the Fentonator himself.
But I don't see it from that perspective. I think Ek, you don't get rid of your best center when you don't have centers to begin with. And I also think that in a trade, you're going to get more back for Fiala than you are for Ek. I don't see Ek being the guy moved. I think that he, if they can get him at a reasonable price, and he seems like a guy that wants to stay for the right price, I think Fiala is going to try and nickel and dime him.
See, I disagree, Hobby, because I think this franchise cannot get rid of Fiala. They have to keep Kaprizov and Fiala, because those are those players who they're going to put their faces on the fucking billboards outside of the rink. Those are the guys that are going to sell tickets. Those are the guys that are going to sell jerseys. I know Eriksson Ek is popular, but Buddy. Let's be honest. No. Let me finish. He's more popular with the numbers community. He's more popular because he's okay. This guy's actually as valuable as a Brock Besser, who we passed over to pick up, right? But if you're going to have to pay $5.5 million for Ek or $5 million, that's going to be the piece that the Minnesota Wild decide to part ways with if Matt Dumba stays, because they can't get rid of Fiala. If they want to even stay remotely competitive and score any goals, let's be honest. Last year, Fiala scored all their fucking goals. I mean, alongside Eric Staal, who's been a stud for the for the Montreal Canadiens this playoffs.
I would take the Northwest Passage.
But let's be honest, where are the goals going to come from if not Fiala? They're not going to come from anywhere but Kaprizov. Then you have the same problem you did in 2020. Eriksson Ek is going to be the piece that I think is going to have to go if they keep Matt Dumba. And I think Matt Dumba, I love the player. I love the player ever since he played in Red Deer in the WHL. But the way that this team is constructed, I'm sorry, you have Ryan Suter, and it's not the worst problem to have because he's a damn good defenseman. He's going to age like fine wine. It's not the worst of those two deals that they have. Obviously, Parise being the worst out of those two matching deals. But I really think that they're not going to give up on Fiala. They're going to let Greenway and or Ek go.
Again, the pieces, though, that you're ignoring are positional strength, right? There's a lot of strong wingers on this squad. And you talk about the billboard. Ugh. I'm sorry. Like, I know this is all...
A lot is a fucking stretch, man. You got, three.
Okay. This is going to be cheeky, but, like, does anyone give a shit if Fiala's face is on the billboard as long as Kaprizov's is?
I would say yes. I think
You and I do, and I know there's some that will.
Poppy, there's got to be more you and I's out there than just few fanboys we see on Twitter. Okay,
terrifying, I'm sorry. Thought. I just think from a team construction, like, okay, odds are Fiala is going to demand $1 or $2 million more than Ek. You need to have strength down the middle. Which, if you get rid of Ek, now you've lost the only competent center that your organization has. Barring the hope that Rossi can come in off of a full year hiatus and everything he's dealing with health-wise and jump in and just be the savior immediately.
Well, that's something. There's more of a safety net. It's thin, but there's more of a safety net down the middle than there is losing your star winger.
Not when there's two star wingers, though. If there was no Kaprizov, I'd agree with you.
The term is top six, not top three. I love it. I love when we go at it because, like, I'm not going to move from this position.
Well,
I don't think
my position is that both of us are right. Why the fuck is it a discussion? Move Dumba. I'm okay. So let's just hammer this out. Well, we've already talked about this several times. I even had my buddy text me about it the other day, and he said, there's no way they're going to get rid of Dumba. I'm like, wrong. So yes, they're talking about him wanting to stay. Of course he wants to stay. They're talking about the team wanting to keep him. Guess what? If you're trying to trade an asset, you don't talk about how you don't want that asset, okay? Looking at the roster construction, we've already gone at this, Isha. There is no rationalization for keeping him besides Kaprizov says he has to stay for me to sign. And if that's the case, and they will come public with that, then I'll shut up and I'll just let them do what they need to do. But short of that, It makes no goddamn sense on a blue line that's the most expensive in the league, right? And granted, they're a great blue line. They're not number one. They're probably in that top 5-6 range, maybe.
And they have his replacement hanging behind you in 59 Kalen Addison.
Sitting there, waiting, staring at you. There's four top-tier defensemen on that blue line. Three of them have no move clauses. Okay, that
they chose Brodin when they signed him last year.
And they chose right. They chose right.
Agreed.
Dylan,
do you want to chime in on this? Do you have any thoughts on this in regards to...
Last piece, though, that's important.
Okay.
He only has two more years on this deal, and then he's going to want more money than he gets now. And you're letting him walk to free agency at that point. Even worse.
Do you think they trade him, or do you think Seattle picks him up? What do you think is going to happen before we end off this segment and actually end off the show in a little bit here?
Yes.
Yes?
If either happens, I'm happy. I don't care.
If either happens. What do you think's more likely?
I think based on how the trade market has sounded for him, Seattle's more likely.
I agree. They would have had to pull the trigger earlier if they wanted to get value the most for him, I think.
Now, maybe he's part of a package, right? Like, if they are actually in on Eichel, he could certainly be a piece going the other way.
I'm telling you, that's it. You get Matt Dumba, a couple of first-round picks, and throw Kuznetsov or Boldy.
I think Boldy's what it would take, and I think a lot of fans will be pissed about that. If you tell me Jack Eichel's what's coming back, don't care.
Don't care. All right, last thing I want to get into, and again, I'm not even super familiar with all these guys' names. I just was looking through the draft rankings, and these are some of the players that are around, you know, 17 to 30 in the National Hockey League as far as draft rankings. And again, this year, it's a fucking crapshoot. It doesn't matter, elite prospects, Dauber prospects, the hockey news. You could ask the fucking scouts themselves. They're going to say, I don't know. We saw 20, maybe 15, maybe max 30 games out of these players this year. It's going to be a crazy draft. Where the Wild are picking, 22 to 26, obviously the best case scenario, move up, try to get 13 or 15, you know, in that range, 13, 14, or 15. That would be, in my opinion, the most ideal move, because then you can at least address a spot of need. You got a year or two before that player will come up and be able to chime in the National Hockey League level. At the center position, because I truly believe in Hoppy, you can disagree or agree with me, and you can chime in a sec here. I think center and or the wing is where the Wild are going to have to focus their targeted drafting on this year, particularly the first round. As far as centers go, and again, this is between like 17 and like 28, you got Zach Lerouleux out of Halifax. You got Atu Ratti out of Finland. You got Zach Bolduc out of Rimouski of the QMJHL, and you got Mackie, oh God, Samoskevsky.
The all-name team.
Out of Chicago of the USHL. I know I fucking butchered that one too.
Samoskevich. Samoskevsky.
Out of wingers, you got Oscar Olsson. He plays in the SHL right now. He's on left wing. Nikita Chibrikov, SKA St. Petersburg. He's not getting a ton of minutes there, but from what I've read of him, actually, he's a legit prospect. And I don't know. I don't know if the Wild are even going to snag him at 22, because he could go around the 15 mark. Out of the QMJHL again, you got Xavier Burgo. Out of the OHL, Brennan Othman out of Flint. And Fabian Lysell of the SHL, a right winger who's actually been ripping it up as well. So whatever that's worth for those who are listening.
2 out of 11 on names there.
Centers, that was incredible.
Some centers and wingers that you should look out for if the pronunciation was correct.
And actually, talking centers... looking at Jay Fresh's final draft rankings based on his extensive scouting.
You should probably listen to him versus me, by the way.
He has two centers both going for the Wild at 21 and 27, roughly. It's Anthony Bedard and Matthew. Can we say it? Can we say it?
No.
Samoskevich.
Samoskevichy? Shout out to Chicago, USHL.
One of them actually came up, so that's good.
There you go. Like I said, we'll talk a little bit more about the draft.
Fucking draft experts. Bro,
we'll bring some people on that actually know something about the draft.
Exactly.
I will push back on you for a second though, Isha, that I think obviously like Brackett is the man when it comes to the draft. We've had that well established. Thank you very much, Canucks, for doing Canuck things.
Yes.
If he wants to trade up, then I'll believe that he's doing it for the right player. But you look at a draft like this where like a lot of players are probably under scouted. He probably has his eyes on some guys, and having two late firsts, decent chance that some of the guys he likes fall through the cracks and you don't have to move up and you can get two that he likes.
Hey, that's true. That Nils Höglander, he slipped into the second round, and that was the guy that Judd Brackett was like.
That one blew 100%. My mind.
100%. Dylan and I were actually in Vancouver at that draft, and we were even blown away really? That guy was still there. Yeah.
No way.
Oh, shut the fuck up. Oh, I said that before on the Soda Pod and Hoppy's
many times. Many times.
All right. Tell us who you think should be drafted, or if the Minnesota Wild should trade both their picks to move up in the draft. We want to hear from you again.
Or trade them both to get Jack Eichel.
Or trade them both to get Jack Eichel with Matt Dumba and Matt Boldy. Well, that wraps up the episode. Episode 162 of the Soda Pod. Thanks for tuning in on Google, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts from. Folks, the best thing you do for us this week, any week, is give us 5 stars and a kind review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. If you're a fan of the National Hockey League or any niche in the sport of hockey, go check out our website, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. We guarantee we have a podcast for you. On your app, please download the episode before you listen, as it just helps our business. You can follow myself at VI Sports Talk. You can follow the Soda Pod at the Soda Pod. And of course, the Hockey Podcast Network at Hockey Pod Net. We have contests going on every month, so be sure to follow the Hockey Podcast Network and stay abreast of all the information there. Hockey or Hoppy, where can they find you?
At State of Hoppy.
Shout out to Salt Spring Shine, really getting to my head there.
That's cider.
Say it again.
Cider.
You guys are so fucked. Signing off. I'm Isha
Drew. The way you do.
Cider, barely knew her.
Alongside the State of Hoppy, Dylan Kayser hitting switches in controls in the producer's chair. This has been the Soda Pod presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. We good, boys?
We good.
Don't fear. Just drink some beer or cider and stay wild.